This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
Isn't it convenient that we have a round table?
Well, it's actually oval. Just say it.
The blind guy feels it now and goes, I guess it is oval.
Kind of oval.
Well, we do this every Thursday on the program. Rumi and I gather with a guest or two, or like last week, three, as a matter of fact. This is an open conversation on a variety of subjects. Picked out by myself. Nobody knows what we're going to talk about. One of the things we've been trying to do on the program is welcome people to our podcast collection that's out there. You always hear us to promote our show, Voices of the Walrus, The Pulse, Now with Dave Brown. And we have some other ones that we really love people to know about. The Halifax School for the Blind. And we really, just to name one of the bunch that are out there. One of the others that we want to talk a little bit about is hosted by Jenny Bovart. And she is host of the Low Vision Moments podcast. We welcome her to the program from Halifax. How are you?
I'm doing so well. I'm so happy to have wheeled my desk chair from my work computer, my day job, over to the microphone. Very excited.
A long distance. Nice. That's the way it's been for all of us. You know, what a distance. I moved rooms. I've got to relax now. Jenny, tell us about the podcast first.
Well, low vision moments themselves are those things that happen in everyday life when you're just trying to go about your day, either with low vision or if you're someone who identifies as blind. And, you can be doing everything right, using all the tools, technologies, rehab you've been handed and acquired over the years. And those low vision moments still happen. They can be frustrating. They can be potentially embarrassing, but there's often some funny in there. There's some comedy in there too. And that's what I try to highlight in the podcast. So it's number one, comedy. Number two, some good story time, some good conversation, and hopefully stuff that people can relate to. But the other thing I try to do is engage listeners that may not have a personal connection to vision loss or low vision or blindness, and kind of bring them into our world and demystify some of the stuff they might see us doing out there in public, whether we're ignoring them or cutting in line or whatever.
That's where I want to start, ladies. Be really great, Jenny. There's two things that I want to get our roundtable off to discussion with. And that is exactly what you said about the perception people must have when they see us, when they deal with person with a disability, and do we laugh? You know, how much do we laugh at ourselves and the things that happen within reason? What the sensitivity levels that people have in respect to us in their feeling, and sometimes for us, while we're chuckling away at, going to turn a corner and saying, oh, hi there. Oh, shoot, that's a mirror. And those things that happen constantly. I'm going to start with you, Jenny, for those sharing stories that we'll also talk about that in a moment. But when you, with doing the show, I think you're about 7 episodes in. Am I right there?
You're right. Coming up on 7. Yep.
Okay. So with the conversations you have, the life experience you have, and everything that's gone on, the people you've spoke to, and including with your day job, I would think that that's one of the things that we struggle with in making people realize, yeah, we do laugh at a lot of things. Yeah, we have these unfortunate things happen. I mean, the reaction of when you bang your leg and someone sees you do it, but because we bump our legs or move around that way, it's not a shock to us. And sometimes we have to educate ourselves that, yeah, but they don't realize that.
Well, I think you're right. For a lot of us, you know, those things that happen that might appear, you know, that people might worry about us or think maybe we're a little more inebriated than we really are. When people are making these assumptions or having these perceptions out there in public or social situations or what have you, for most of us, that's normal. We've had lots of time to adjust and deal with. Yes, it might be heavy or frustrating at times, but the majority of the time we have to learn to laugh at ourselves. Otherwise, you're just going to be ticked off all the time because it's work, right? Like just to do, just to go do your groceries, especially right now, like there's so much more planning involved if you don't drive or if you have to have, you have to make all these considerations. So I think that's the case for a lot of us, but not necessarily everybody. For people who might be newer to vision loss, or like I'm someone who was born with the same eyesight that I have now in my 30s, and it's taken me forever to come around to having this more positive attitude about it. So I think for some people, including some of my guests, it's refreshing for them to see the comedic side and be more open about it. I hear from a lot of my guests, they're like, you know, that was so refreshing and cathartic, because there's, number one, not that many people I can talk to about this. But number two, it's, you know, it's not, people are sensitive and they want to be sensitive to our feelings and our needs. And so they don't know when it's okay to laugh. So I think it's, that's part of the podcast, is like telling people, here, you know, here are the context when it's okay to laugh. You know, if we're laughing, please laugh with us. Don't tell me you're going to pray for me if I'm having a good laugh at myself. That's going to change the mood.
Because you may not, after I start laughing at you praying for me, you might not want to pray for me because I'm okay, you know. And there's certainly, prayers can be used in better places than worrying about how I'm adjusting. And we are fortunate when we have made, as you said, Jenny, it's taken you to get into your 30s to make that adjustment. Rumya, you and I have talked on the show and laughed a lot about the things we do. I know myself, I've always felt carrying my white cane speaks for me. It helps a lot because I'm a big guy, and if I'm coming towards people and I don't know they're there, am I taking up too much sidewalk? Am I, you know, and the first thing people think, well, you obnoxious person, move over. Or like Jenny said, is this guy drunk? He just ran me right over and now is trying to help me up. For you, Rum, moving around, doing things, these moments that we're talking about of wanting to be a little more comfortable, have they come to you? Because we've talked often that it took you a while to say, yeah, I'll use a cane.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that I started laughing more around my teenagers, because before that, I felt that I was just not taking it in, right? Taking it in the point of view of like, oh, what are other people seeing when I do this, or when I travel this way, or when I bump into things? But when I was a teenager, a few of us would hang out together. We were like the blind, low vision crew, and we all have different,
levels
of vision. Yes, and degrees of sight. So we would sometimes see, like I would see one of my friends doing something silly and laugh out loud, or they vice versa. So we got to kind of see the perspective of, oh, is this what other people are seeing when we do this stuff, but not around other blind people who are pointing it out? So that's when I started to realize that there are levels and layers to how some of this stuff can be super, super funny. You know, sometimes I, assume that other people didn't see it. Like if I didn't, you know, if I walked away and
sighted people laugh at themselves for doing the things they do, whether someone catches them or not.
Look at me, of course. But there's this narrow perspective. Mm-hmm. Like I used to walk through malls and bump into mannequins, like things that literally look like people to me, and either bump into them or walk around them or apologize or even ask some of them questions. Like, excuse me, where can I find that? Oh, that's a mannequin. And then, and then think that because I walked away so casually and coolly that nobody else saw that. Oh my God. And then my friend, one of my sighted friends who's really good friends with me from high school onwards, she started coining it as blind people problems. And she was like, oh, you just had a blind people problem right there. Or, you know, if I wasn't here, nobody would have noticed that blind person problem. So it was a good way to start laughing at something like this. And Jenny, that's why I appreciate your podcast so much, because sometimes we think, haha, but not really. Or, you know, we get into the embarrassed side of things, but we really had to let it out, you know, and just,
sometimes we think the world's laughing at us, and it's us.
At us, exactly. You
know? It's okay for us to joke around with our blind friends, laugh at what we do, but if someone, a sighted person, hey boy, you look funny doing that. What'd you say?
That's right.
You're comfortable.
Yeah.
But Jenny, sometimes it's not always funny in the moment.
No.
It's not. Embarrassed. And then it takes days, weeks, months, whatever, to come back to it. And you're like,
later on,
actually, that time I, you know, went into that really deep puddle on my cul-de-sac, pretty sure a bunch of people saw me and it was really embarrassing, but now it's pretty funny. So,
And it's okay if it ever is funny for us, because maybe it was something dangerous. So, you know, I'm not suggesting everybody laugh at every single thing that happens to you. Of course not.
No.
But, you know, there are those times that when we are, or certain things, we have that same openness and joking. Jenny, you get a lot of personal stories that you share and your guests do. Let's talk about that art itself, being able to find that story. It's fine. You say, okay, I'm comfortable sharing this story. But for you delivering the stories as a person with vision, you know, impairment, is there challenges? And is it challenges with your timing? I like the fact you're telling these stories and sharing them. That is awesome. But it takes that openness and comfort with it. And with doing the podcast, how did you get there?
I think it's a really natural thing to me to just tell it like it is and not really sugarcoat anything. Although there's usually, you know, some kind of positive spin around the story, around the situation. I don't know. I think telling the stories in the way that I do with the funny, positive spin, that's just who I am. And these stories are things that I have been writing down, telling my friends and family for years and years and years. And so I've got this collection of them, and going into creating the podcast, that was the biggest question mark. Like, are other people actually going to find these stories and the way that I tell them? Are they going to find them as funny as my friends and family say they do? And luckily enough, that seems to be the case. So that is just, I don't know, that is just the best thing in life for me. And having such amazing guests on, they are incredible people in their own right. And I think something that makes the podcast, I don't know, it makes it a natural process. Again, I keep saying natural because it doesn't feel like work to me. It just feels like I'm having this really great conversation with this person that I've wanted to meet forever, or this person who I've known and haven't been able to chat with. And so I think we just get into a good convo, and then the stories come out and they tell themselves.
Rumi, do you find people good with you when it comes to sharing those stories, or that you're all right with being that open with people? And you know, did you, before years ago, when the struggle was there to even be noticed that you were vision impaired, mm-hmm. I'm assuming, and they don't have to be blind stories. I'm not even talking that, just storytelling in general.
Easier? It's always been kind of the way, if you'll take it, even as a coping thing, right? Because sometimes I think that internally we push and push and push certain things so down that even things that could easily be just funny stories end up being detrimental to our confidence and to our mental health and to different things like that. So it gets really heavy. And I found that over the years, because me and my mom, we laugh a lot about so many things, that she was the one, especially when I started moving, or when I moved out, I started sharing things that would happen where she wasn't around to see it, but I knew she'd appreciate. And that became kind of the way to catapult into other people knowing about things and just it becoming a story time situation, Jenny, like you're talking about. And honestly, like you, I feel like if we were to write down all the things that have happened over the years that we've shared with, yeah, we'd have a huge pile of stories that we can share. And I think that people could appreciate, and we'd appreciate it doing it internally.
I like the fact you've been writing them, Jenny, and just kind of, you know, hey, that's funny to me. And doing a diary like that, if you want to call it that, or journaling.
You know, what's interesting is every time I have a guest on, almost every time they're like, I this happens so often. These moments happen so often that I can't even really think of any. They're just my day to day life. So a lot of people will say, oh, I have to go talk to my friends and family and they'll remind me of my low vision moments.
That's really interesting. And it's true, because I know myself, people will say, remember the time? No. Well, you told me that. Well, no, I don't remember that worth a darn. I don't pay any attention to myself anymore than anyone else does. So it's very interesting, because I think also it's very cathartic to be able to share those stories, whether you ever want to write them, do a story of some kind, or a podcast in your situation. It's also just to sit back, especially if you're feeling funny, because I think your point that it sometimes takes a really long time to be okay with something that happened, especially related to the disability, and you know, something you just think, oh, if I wasn't blind, I wouldn't have done that. You know, I wouldn't have made that mistake, or I might have not missed that opportunity because I literally couldn't see it coming by.
Mm. You make such a good point. And I don't know where I'm going with this. This podcast is, all I want to say is, it's like, it is such a selfish thing for me because of the cathartic, the release, you know, all that is very real. Particularly one good example is the episode with Dennis, Dennis Hurley. He's a fantastic actor and comedian who I've looked up to forever. And to have those kinds of conversations that I had with him going into stories from my childhood, where at the time, that stuff was not funny. I was frustrated. I was not having a good time. I was not looking at the lighter side of things. I don't think I ever really had many of those conversations with anybody. And you need to find the right people who you know or you hope are going to relate and be like, yes, that is what I'm relating and that is what I'm talking about. So I think it's such a selfish thing for me, this podcast, because it's cathartic. I get to talk to all these fantastic people. And it's just like the best thing that's happened for me in a long time.
It's funny, Ramya, we've heard other people say that, you know, and I think that's really where a lot of podcasting started. Somebody having an idea, something they wanted to talk about, and they just needed to click, hit record and talk into a mic.
Mm-hmm. And I was going to say that approach, Jenny, feels like, brilliant in and of itself, where you start kind of light, you have that, you say, okay, you know, how much can we talk about on this level? But eventually, if you click on that level, which is the lighter and the funnier and the, you know, this person gets what I'm talking about, you get into such deep conversations, which is why the podcast, though it is funny and though you really do put in those comedic elements, I think people can get a lot more out of it.
Jenny, thank you so much for visiting with us, talking to us a little bit about blindness and, of course, what goes into the podcast and your ability to be open with your guests and crack them and make them feel, hey, man, this is a fun place and free place to share. That's, of course, the Low Vision Moments podcast hosted by Jenny Bovard. Thanks, Jen.
Thank you. This was so much fun. I'd love to come back sometime.
You know you're welcome anytime for the roundtable. We'll talk soon. Good luck at work. And I left a lot of things on the table to talk about. We'll get the other stuff too down the road. Thanks, Jen.
Right on.
Jenny Bovard joining us. We do this on Thursdays right here on Kelly & Company. It is the roundtable. And do check out the podcast. Simply subscribe using your favorite podcatcher. And while you're at it, give her a rating and review. We'll take a break and wrap up our program and see what's up next on Now with Dave Brown in just a moment. You've been listening to Kelly & Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.